The Mishnayos are discussing the various different averas, 7 in total, for which one could receive the death penalty of chenek, strangulation. The third one on the list in the previous Mishnah is a zokin mamre al pi beis din, a Talmud Chacham who is a member of a beis din who rebels against the ruling of the Sanhedrin Agdoila, the big main Sanhedrin of 71 judges who sat in the Beis HaMikdash. If they give a ruling and this other judge tells people to do something else, he rules differently, then he would receive the death penalty. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, and there are a number of Pasukim which discuss this, the Mishnah just quotes the beginning of that passage, Ki pole mimcha dovor lamishpat, when a matter of judgment will be hidden from you, when you won't necessarily know what to do in a case of judgment, V'gomer, etc., the Torah goes on to describe how you should go to the Sanhedrin, and they will give a ruling, and anybody who goes against that will receive the death penalty. Now, the Mishnah describes that if somebody, so let's say somebody is a member of a beis din in his local city, a beis din of, let's say, 23 judges, and he has an argument with other members of the beis din regarding a particular law of the Torah. So they should go up to Yerushalayim, where the Sanhedrin was, but the Mishnah says they don't go straight to the Sanhedrin HaGdolah to ask them. Rather, Shaloshavot Dinim Hayusham, there were 3 courts there surrounding the Beis HaMikdash, and they would go to the first 2 before arriving at the Sanhedrin HaGdolah. Echod, one of them, the first one, Yoshev al Pesach Harabayis, one of the Bote Din, was situated at the entrance of Harabayis, the mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash stood. And according to most, this is not referring to the bottom of the mountain, rather it's referring to the exit of the Beis HaMikdash, which is technically speaking the entrance to the Harabayis. When you leave the Beis HaMikdash, you go onto Harabayis from there. So there was one Beis Din of 23 judges right by the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash on Harabayis. Echod Yoshev al Pesach Azora, one of the courts was situated at the entrance of the Ezras Yisrael, the courtyard where regular men could be, even non-Koyanim. And the Echod, one of them, the main Sanhedrin of 71 judges, Yoshev Lishkas Agozis, they would sit in the Lishkas Agozis, one of the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is where they would judge cases which came before them. And Mishnah describes, this particular judge and the people he argues with should come to the first Beis Din, which was situated on Harabayis, so the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. And you should tell them, I explained this law in this particular way, and in a different way, my friends, the other members of the Beis Din, explained this law. Or I myself learnt the law in this way, even without teaching it to others. And my friends, the other members of the Beis Din, they learnt the law in a different way. And they ask them, what is the real law? If this Sanhedrin, which is situated there at the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, has already heard about this case before, and they know exactly that the halacha is certainly in a particular direction, they know who's right, based on what they have heard already in the past, then Omlohem, they would say what the law is to these people. But Vimlav, if they hadn't heard about this law before, then they don't start judging it themselves. Rather, the Talmud Chacham, this judge who came to the Beis Din, they would now move on to the next Beis Din, which is situated at the entrance of the Ezras Yisrael, the courtyard area, where even non-Kohanim can be, as long as they are men. And once again, V'omer would say to them, Kach Dorashti, I explained and ruled in this particular way, V'kach Dorashu Chaverai, and the other members of my Beis Din ruled differently, or Kach Limadati, V'kach Limdu Chaverai. I taught it in a particular way, and the other members taught it in a different way. So once again, Imshom, or if they had heard this halacha already, and they have a tradition as to what exactly is the halacha, Oyim Lohen, they would tell them. And that would be it. But if they hadn't heard it, then Elu V'Elu, both the judge and the members of his Beis Din who came to Jerusalem in the first place, as well as the 2 courts who they have already been to, they all come, Boim LeBeis Din Agolosh V'Lishkas Agozis, they would all come and approach the big Sanhedrin of 71 judges who are sitting in the Lishkas Agozis, this chamber inside the Beis HaMikdash, Shememenu Yotzis Torah L'Chol Yisrael, that from this place and from this court of the Sanhedrin HaGadolah, Torah law goes out to all of the Jewish people, and their word is final in defining the law. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'namokim ahu asher yivchar Hashem." From that place which Hashem chooses, referring to Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash, the Sanhedrin who sit there, the ones to decide the law. So they would go to them, and now, even if the Beis Nagadol, if the Sanhedrin had not heard about this case before, they would discuss it and they would come to a conclusion. And what happens if they come to a conclusion which is not like this particular judge? And Chozal Iroi, this particular judge who came, he returned to his city, v'shon v'limei k'der sho'yolomid. And he still went back to teaching and learning how he had learned until now, against what the Sanhedrin learnt and how they ruled. Says Mishnah Potter, he is exempt from the death penalty because all he did is just continue learning in that way. He didn't rule that people should do a particular act which goes against the ruling of the Sanhedrin. However, in the Hayu al-Asais, if he did rule for people to do differently to that which the Sanhedrin had ruled, then Chayv, he would be liable, Shenem, as the Pasuk says, V'ho'isha sh'yaseh v'zodain, a person who does intentionally. This is referring to the judge who rules for people to do a particular act which goes against the Sanhedrin. In Chayat Yerelasos, we learn from there that you're not liable unless you rule for people to do a particular action which goes against the Sanhedrin. Now the Mishnah ends off, Talmid Shehayolasos, which literally means a student who makes a ruling for people to act against the Beis Din. When we say student, we're referring to somebody who is not yet fit to be a judge on the Beis Din, which means that whatever he rules does not actually bear with it so much significance. It's not considered to be an official ruling. And therefore, even if people do follow him, Potter, he'll be exempt. Nimtza chumroi kuloi. It emerges that his stringency, that which we are saying that he is not fit to giving any ruling, and in fact it's forbidden to give a ruling before you're fit to do so. So he violated a prohibition, but it's particularly because he violated that prohibition, and because he's not fit to give a real ruling, that ends up being a leniency for him that he won't be killed because his ruling lacks that significance and weight to it. Mishnah Gimel, Chomer B'Devei Sofrim B'Devei Torah. There's a stringency regarding a Torah law which requires Torah Shebal Peh and the Rabbonim and the Chachomim to explain what the Torah means. A ruling regarding something like that is more strict than a ruling regarding something which is explicit in the Torah. And the Mishnah explains, Ha'omer, one who says, if this judge makes a ruling against the Beis Din and he says, ain't tefillin. There's no mitzvah of tefillin in the Torah. Could they lavra al divrei Torah to go against, to transgress a particular law which is explicitly written in the Torah? Potter will be exempt because this is not even considered to be a ruling at all. It's explicitly against what the Torah says. It's not even considered to be something which he is giving a ruling, he's saying this is the law. It's a total joke. The Torah says the exact opposite. However, if you were to say, Chomesh Toitofos, there should be 5 different compartments in the tefillin, Shel Reish, instead of 4, so it's not actually written in the Torah how many compartments there are in the tefillin. Rather, we have a halacha l'mishmei Sinai, a tradition going back, part of Torah Shebal Peh, of the oral Torah, that we know there are supposed to be 4 compartments. But if this Talmud Chacham, if this judge, he gives a ruling that there are 5 compartments to fill in. L'hoisval divrei sofrim, to add on and to change that which the Chachomim explained of the Torah law. Then Chayv, he would be liable because this is already considered to be a ruling. Because it doesn't go against something which is explicitly written the opposite in the Torah. Mishnah Dalet, once the judge goes back to his city and he rules that people should act against the decision of the Sanhedrin, so he's liable to the death penalty, and who would judge him? Just like any case of a death penalty, a basin of 23 judges, assumedly the one which was in that city, they would judge him. And once they reach the verdict, they wouldn't kill him in the Beis Din of his city where they pronounced him guilty. Even though in general that it would be that Beis Din who would kill him. As well as that, the Beis Din in Yavneh would also not kill him. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the main Sanhedrin moved to Yavneh, outside of Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah is so discussing a case where perhaps this whole story of the judge who ruled against the Sanhedrin, everything, it happened whilst the Beis Hamikdash was still standing, and while the Sanhedrin still judged cases in the Beis Hamikdash. However, meanwhile, before he managed to kill him or to pronounce him guilty, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and the Sanhedrin moved to Yavneh, they wouldn't have been able to kill him. Rather, the only way to kill him is that they would bring him up to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash and kill him there. And therefore, once the Sanhedrin were no longer in the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be killed. Now, the Mishnah adds, "Umeshamet osad aregel." They would wait to kill him until the next Yom Tov, the next one of the Sholosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos. Umeshamet osad aregel, and they would kill him on the Yom Tov, or the day before or after the Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. They would kill him then, when all of the Jewish people had gathered to Jerusalem and were situated there. In order to publicize this to everybody, Shalem, as the Pasuk says, you should kill him in a way that v'chola'om yishmu v'yira'u, all of the people will hear and see v'lo yizdun oid, and they won't intentionally sin again. So even though we learnt earlier on in the Masechta that it's in general forbidden to wait around, once somebody has been pronounced guilty and is liable to a death penalty, he needs to be killed immediately. It's considered to be a major pain for him, perhaps more than he deserves, for him to have to wait around with this death penalty looming above him. However, when it comes to Zokin Mamre, the Torah says you should wait in order that everybody will see and be put off transgressing the Torah's laws. The Rabbi Akiva, that is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't put this person into pain due to his judgment. We can't wait around. He needs to be killed as soon as he is given the verdict. Rather, we would kill him immediately, just like with every death penalty given by Beis Din. If so, had we fulfilled this idea of the Pasuk that everybody should hear and see and be put off doing Averis like this? So they would write documents and send these documents with messengers to all of the areas around Eretz Yisrael, telling them and announcing to them, Ish Poloni ben Ish Poloni, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, Nischayev Misal beBeis Din, became liable to the death penalty in Beis Din for doing the Avera of rebelling against the Sanhedrin. And this way everybody would find out about it, and at the same time, this judge who is going to be killed would be killed immediately and wouldn't need to wait around until the next one of the Sholosh Regalim. Mishnah Hey, the next one on the list of things for which one receives strangulation is Leviah Sheker, a false prophet. What is the definition? One who prophesies about something which he didn't hear. He claims to have received a prophecy which he didn't actually. Or if he gives a prophecy which wasn't said to him, was said to a different prophet, a different Novi, but he announces it and tells it to the people as if he is the one who heard it. This is also certainly forbidden, and with Sasa B'dei Adam, their death is at the hands of the Beis Din. And more specifically, they would receive chenek, strangulation. However, one who withholds his prophecy, he doesn't give over the prophecy to the people. If Hashem told a Novi to tell the people something, and he does not do so, for example, like the famous story of Yoina, the Hamvater al Divrei HaNovi, or one who is not particular in fulfilling the words of a Novi, if a Novi tells somebody to do something in the name of Hashem, and this other person does not fulfill that. And thirdly, the Novi Shor al Divrei Atzmai, and a prophet who transgresses his own words, if Hashem tells him to do something, and he doesn't do that, even if a different Novi told him to do something else, he still needs to follow his own prophecy, which he himself received from Hashem. Somebody who does one of these three things, Misal B'dei Shomayim, his death is by the hands of Hashem, he is liable to Misal B'dei Shomayim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Onoichi Adresh Me'emoi, I will seek vengeance, I will seek a punishment from with him. That's what Hashem says. We see from there that Hashem is the one who will punish him, and that is not in the hands of Beis Din to give him any punishment.